So would you come and would you welcome Lynn Shaw? As we did yesterday, just a way to recognize your participation and the trust that your preaching colleagues have placed in you. We're looking forward to your ministry of the word. Thanks very much. Okay, thanks to you again. Take the hymnal that's close to you and turn to reading number 394. Reading number 394, we will use this as the beginning of our worship, so stand and let's read this responsibly. I think I would like us to read it both responsively and responsibly. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men.
He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs.
There he brought the hungry to live.
They sowed fields and planted vineyards and
he blessed them and their numbers greatly increased. The upright see and rejoice.
Whoever is wise, let him consider the great love of the Lord.
Now we ask that as we continue to praise you with our hearts and our minds, that you would help us to hear you through your word and through your servant. We want to be more like you as a result of our time together, because you're worthy of that. You're worthy of the change being wrought in our lives in response to all that you have to say to us. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone.
Put that picture up while they're putting their instruments away. It has been so good for me to be here the last 2 days. I have immensely enjoyed finally getting to be on campus after 6 years and 27 online classes. I finally get to see what the inside of chapel looks like. I finally get to meet a lot of you, sit in on some classes. It's really been great. And I'd like to show you a picture of my family now that I've met you. This is me on the right, of course, and my husband David on the left. He is my best friend and love of my life and also my boss and senior pastor. And yes, that's working great, thank God. To his left in the back is my daughter Caitlin, and in front of her, her husband Ryan, who is the son of Alan and Beth Scott, pastors at the Trinity Church here in the Springs, so that may be a familiar face to you. In the back there, slouching down, not wanting to be seen, is my 19-year-old son, Jordan, who just finished his last final today, finished out his sophomore year. He's at Wentworth Institute of Technology in Boston. And then in front of him and to his right is my youngest daughter, my baby, Rebecca. She's 16, learning how to drive. I'm glad I'm not there this week. And going to our local high school. And then lastly, on her left and next to me is my daughter Melinda, who is 17 and a freshman at Eastern Nazarene College. If I slip up tonight and say ENC instead of NBC, I hope you'll forgive me. So yes, I'm a mother of teenagers, and that has made me think back and remember some of my teenage years. And so I'd like to share with you a story of something that I experienced when I was a teenager. I was in senior high school, and our church called a new pastor, who was actually an old pastor. Harold Perry was his name. He was in his 60s at the time and came to be loved by old and young alike. He was a wonderful pastor, and yet I don't really remember any of his sermons. I do remember that he always came to teen events in a three-piece suit. But we don't remember much of what he did there, but we were thankful that he came, obviously, and loved us. But the thing I remember most about him was the vitamins that he always had with him. He was never without a pocket full of hard candy, and so he'd come up to you, and when he would see you, he would, this big grin would come out on his face, and he would say, he'd reach into his pocket, and he'd pull out his hand, and he'd extend it, and he'd say, "Have a vitamin." Yeah. Well, he took two. Anybody else want a vitamin? Here, have a vitamin. Oh, you lost yours. So you need your vitamin back. Now, obviously, Harold Perry's vitamins were not essential to our health, although they gave us a lot of joy. But we all know that real vitamins are essential for our physical health. And the vitamin aisle is just basically out of control in my supermarket. It takes up half an aisle, probably does here as well. Because we've come to rely on vitamin supplements. Most of us need those to get our daily needs. And so that's what our supermarkets look like. Because we know the importance of taking our vitamins daily, and the one-a-day company has reminded us of that. Is there another slide with one-a-days? Apparently not. There it is. Yeah, one a day, daily. You need those vitamins daily. And so we've become clever here in modern America. And so we've started putting vitamins in everything we can think of, such as, yeah, our water. Two clicks. One more click, yeah. Water, vitamins everywhere. We're putting in our breakfast cereal. We're even putting it in fast food like Pop-Tarts. And junk food like lollipops. True. Truth. And of course, Coke. It's everywhere. Because we know it's necessary, and so we're trying really hard to get our vitamins, and we're trying to do that in as creative a way as possible. Now, how many of you, poll time, how many of you had a mother, a loving mother, maybe a nagging mother, who made sure you took your vitamins every day? Okay. Flintstones. Sorry, not one of Dave Flintstones. Okay, that's good. Well, tonight we read some scripture passages and we sang some wonderful worship songs, thank you, Alan, that reminded us of God's love for us. And we do indeed have a loving Heavenly Father who wants to make sure that we take our spiritual vitamins every day, because His goal for us is health and wholeness. In fact, we call that holiness. And so tonight I'd like to explore one of the oldest and most foundational holiness passages that we know, and think a little bit tonight about what kind of supplements might help us as we seek holiness. The text tonight is from Deuteronomy. This is a book I studied in Pentateuch with Dr. Tom King. Thank you very much, Dr. King. This is a book, Deuteronomy was a book that helped the nation of Israel to shape their knowledge of Yahweh as the one true God, the one to whom they owed their ultimate and total loyalty. Our text tonight is going to be Deuteronomy chapters 6 through 11. So you can just forget about class for the rest of the evening. No. Not really, because I don't want to make the professors mad. I do want to graduate next month. So I want to stay on their good side. So let's just condense the passage to that famous passage that was, by Jesus' day, memorized by every child at age 6, written out and kept in mezuzahs in every home, strapped onto foreheads and left arms, of course, facing the heart every morning. Of course, I'm talking about Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And I would invite you to stand with me while we read that together. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. Again, this is Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. I think that just about covers it. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. If you would keep a finger in that passage, please, you may have a seat. So keep one finger there, and with the other arm, another pole. How many of you have children? Okay, good. So you understand that when your child runs out into the street or is about to do something dangerous, you don't just say, don't do that once. At least if you're like me, and I know I am, I say, thank you, somebody got that. So I say, stop, right? Or no, I repeat it at least three times. Three seems to be the magic number for me. I don't know about you. And we've learned, of course, that God does the same thing with us sometimes. And when he repeats things, we know that it's time to sit up and take notice. And so if we did have time to read through these six chapters tonight, we'd see a lot of that repetition. We would hear over and over again, obey the commandments, pay attention to the law, be careful to follow every command. We would hear, I love you, I chose you, and of course, I will provide for you. And the big one, of course, love me and serve me. Let's look at some of that repetition in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. 10, 12 through 13. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you or require of you in some translations? Or what does the Lord want you to do is what the NCV says. I love that. What does he ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. And then look at chapter 11, verse 13. Love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And then further down in chapter 11, verse 18. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. So the main idea here, indeed, the command that Jesus described as the greatest command, is to love the Lord with all our hearts. The big question, of course, is how are we going to do this? It seems impossible to live out this command without some sort of vitamin supplement, doesn't it? I mean, most of us have been studying and preaching and seeking to live a life of holiness a long time. And yet still, when we read this passage, we read it with wonder and even fear at the thought of how can we possibly do this? That the task is just too great. And definitely we know that we're going to need all the help and all the supplements that we can get. So tonight what I'd like to ask you to do first off is to just close your eyes for a minute. I promise I won't do anything scary while your eyes are closed. Just close your eyes for a minute and think about what it must have looked like the day that God's people heard these words for the very first time. Picture yourself in the desert with about 1 million other people. And Moses, or maybe not Moses, but whoever's delivering these words for the first time has gathered you together. You got that picture? So look to your right and your left in your mental image there. Who's standing next to you? Who are you standing with on this very important day? Your loved ones, of course, right? Because the words that day, and you can open your eyes, by the way, the words that day were given to a people who were gathered tribe by tribe and clan by clan and family by family. Because God's call, of course, to holiness is a personal call, and yet it's also a communal call. Now, fast forward 1,300 years or so, if the math I learned in one of my Bible classes is correct, and think about the words from the writer to the Hebrews in chapters 10 and 12. How does he or she put it? I know you guys think it's Barnabas or maybe Apollos, but I like the Priscilla idea. So think about he or she is saying, let us draw near to God. Let us hold on to our hope. Let us spur one another on. Let us run the race. Now, where did the apostle get that idea? I think he or she got it back in Deuteronomy. where God's commands were to be impressed upon the whole family, talked about daily, and even carved right into the architecture. His intention was that the family and the friends, and indeed the whole nation, would together become a holy nation. So tonight, I'm not going to remind us all to love and serve God on a personal level, because this is a congregation that's heard many sermons and lessons and taken plenty of classes on personal spiritual formation and drawing near to God. We know we are to love God with all our hearts. And so we've studied this idea, okay, God, what does our hearts mean exactly? And we studied Jesus' words, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Luke 12:43. And we've studied passages about hard hearts and prideful hearts and glad hearts and even singleness of heart. But tonight I'm not going to ask you to ponder the question, what is your heart? I'd like to take the discussion out of the academic and spiritual for a minute and bring it back down to the practical and down to earth. About a month ago, I found an old book on my father's bookshelves by Dr. DeLong. It was a compilation of some of his radio sermons. And so I read that book, and of course the messages were short. They were meant to be delivered by radio, and they had to be very visual because people were just listening. There were no images to see. And so all of his messages were just simple, down-to-earth object lessons that filled the pages. And I have to confess to you, I found them kind of... I better not say it because they're recording me. I felt a little superior to them, shall we say, because, you know, we live in a world where, you know, we think we're so sophisticated. You know, so we read this passage and we say, oh, how silly of the Jews. You know, they thought they really had to physically strap those words onto their arms. But then I got thinking, I wonder what percentage of children, Jewish children, in Jesus' day, grew up to embrace the faith of their fathers. And then I got thinking about a Barna survey that I was recently reading, where he said that 95% of today's Christian teenagers will be lost to the church when they grow into adulthood. And I hope that's wrong. I mean, that's just a horrible, horrible statistic to think about, that only 5% of our children might embrace our faith. So tonight I want to think about this idea of our heart in a very practical way. So I'd like to ask you one more time just to close your eyes and picture a big red heart. Now I know what the ladies are picturing already, if the ladies are like me anyway. We are picturing chocolates and roses and romance. And hopefully you guys are at least maybe picturing some sort of nice, intimate, personal relationship somewhere in there. And so tonight, my question to us is not going to be, what is our heart, but who is our heart? So who is your best earthly friend? The person that you think about every day, the person who's always on your heart, the person you want to connect with and share with every day. Tonight, I'd like to challenge all of us to think about this passage in light of the people that are on our hearts. And I know that's just only one way to interpret this, but that's the track that God just keeps laying on my heart as I think about this passage. Who is my heart? So the question is, are we living holy lives with all of our heart, with the love of our hearts? Are we walking in such a way that our spouses and our children, our hearts, family, are growing with us to love and serve God more? Are we helping one another to praise Him? Are we talking about the great and marvelous things that we've seen with our own eyes? That question draws me up short. I think I am doing that for the most part, but there's definitely room for that part of my heart to do a better job. Many of you are already in ministry, and many of you will soon be in ministry when you leave NBC, and we're going to need to go forth in the power of strong families if we're going to withstand the pressures of ministry today. We're ministering in an age where a third to a half of all marriages, statistically, will fail. And so tonight, I would like us all to commit specifically to obeying the Lord's commands and laws that concern our marriages and our families. Holiness is definitely meant to be lived out daily, one a day, of course, in our personal lives, but it also needs to be carried out daily in our marriages. Just as you can't take a vitamin once a week and expect to be healthy, it's just not enough for us to go to church on Sunday and maybe talk about the sermon or the Sunday school lesson on Sunday afternoon and then not talk about it the rest of the week. We need those spiritual nutrients every day. And so I'd like to put the emphasis in this verse on the word with. Who are you serving God with? Every day with, fill in the blank, someone. Because the vitamin supplement I think that we most need to live holy lives is one another. God is not asking us to serve him all alone. He's given us helpmates. Thank God. Praise his name. And so our challenge tonight is to be intentional about caring for our hearts, holding hands with one another, reading the word together, praying together. We need it every day. For some of you, your heart in this definition is a best friend. For some of you, it's a spouse. For some of you, maybe a child. And for some of you, maybe D, all the above. Bring it on. The more the merrier. But you know that feeling of awkwardness you sometimes get when you're sharing deep spiritual things with one another? I don't know why that is. And I ask God, why is it so hard sometimes for we human beings to share you with the love of our hearts? I mean, even pastors, religion majors, ministers, sometimes we kind of choke up at the thought of doing that. I'm not quite sure why that is. And maybe, I don't know, maybe there's some engaged couples out here and you still have stars in your eyes and you cannot imagine what I'm talking about because you just think you're going to be able to talk about everything for the rest of your life. And hopefully that'll be true for you. But some of you older married people probably know what I'm talking about. You've probably been through times where you just didn't really feel like sharing much of anything intimate with one another, emotional or spiritually. But share we must. We have to do it. We must talk about the Lord with one another. As this scripture told us, we have to talk about the Lord together when we sit at home, when we walk along the road, when we lie down, and when we get up, basically all the time. So I have this fantasy. In my fantasy vision, my husband and I are sitting together on the love seat. It's early morning, and somehow or another we're miraculously clean and well-dressed, and we're smiling, and we're both holding a mug of coffee, and we both have an open Bible in our lap, you know, and we're talking together and sharing together. It's this wonderful vision. But it's never happened. First of all, my husband hates coffee. And second of all, I am not a morning person. That is just not my thing. And so he's there doing his early morning thing, and I'm just barely trying to wake up. And later on, I'm doing my devotional thing, and he's already at the office wondering where on earth I am and, you know, get into the office. But at some point of the day, when we're able to connect and sit down and share, what's God talking to you about today? And you know, where are your dreams going today? And where have you been called up short today? Those times are the most precious times to me. Man, I'm telling you, it's like taking a whole bottle of vitamin pills because those times just encourage our hearts so much. And what about this praying together thing? You know, I never cease to be amazed at how hard it is for people to pray together. You know, I have couples, they come into my office all the time and they sit down and you know, they're in trouble and they're telling me their woes and he doesn't understand me and she doesn't understand me. And I'm surprised that when I ask them, how many of them admit that they never pray together. I don't know why that's so hard. But I see it in my teenagers. Anybody have teenagers? Third pole of the night, your arms are going to get tired. Yeah, a few teenagers. Okay, I've survived four. It is possible. So that's good. I think I'm still sane, sort of. The heartbreak of our lives has been that three of our four teenagers started out praying with us and talking with us and sharing with us, but three of the four rebelled against that. Some of the hardest years of our life. And my baby, Rebecca, is just now starting to let me pray with her again. Although she rolls her eyes and acts like it's the biggest inconvenience ever, you know. But we have to do that. And it's been, I'll tell you, it's been hard for me to make myself do that because I knew that they would roll their eyes and I knew that they would ridicule me, and it cut me to the heart. And yet I had to keep doing it because I knew the importance of praying with my children. We all pray for our children, but we need to be praying with our children, not just at mealtimes, but in the morning before they leave for school and at night before they go to bed and every time in between. You all know, there's probably not a person here tonight that doesn't know the importance of spending time with God every day. And there's probably not a person here tonight that doesn't know the importance of spending time with your loved ones and telling them that you love them every day. We've heard all the Dr. Phil, and we've taken the psychology classes, and we've, you know, taken those good housekeeping tests, you know, what's your marriage like. You know, we know that that's important too. So here's your new idea for the night. Let's combine those two ideas, and let's together show our love for God every day. Let's love God with all of our hearts. So, what is God speaking to you tonight about how he wants you to draw near to him with all your heart? I'm going to be quiet for a minute. We don't generally like silence all that much, but I'm going to be quiet for a minute because I don't need to be talking right now. I know that God is talking to all of us in some specific way. Father God, we thank you for being a speaking God. Hear, O Israel, you speak and you empower us to hear. Lord, I believe that you have given us new dreams and visions tonight of how better to serve you. And Lord, I believe that you are able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine according to your great power that is at work within us. So we thank you, Jesus. We praise your name tonight, and we do ask that you would empower us with that great power tonight. Amen. I hope that you're sensing some excitement about the things that God has whispered into your hearts tonight. And I pray that you all go home tonight encouraged to love the Lord your God with all of your hearts. And I'd like to leave you with a benediction from 2 Thessalonians. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, may he encourage our hearts and strengthen us in every good deed and word. And all his people say, amen. Let's go forth. He heard the amen. She.